come true for Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah!
You are listening to the ReviewFix.com podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. I am the Caucasian sensation, not eagerly waiting for WrestleMania 32, Patrick Hickey Jr., here joined with Juan De Jesus, who will think of his own nickname because I never do a good job. How you doing, Juan?
You do a pretty okay job, but from now on, everyone out there, everyone in the crowd will think of me as the nerdy pugilist.
Very nice.
Now, people don't know, it's just a fancy way of saying that I box with nerdy terms. But besides that, you know, I'm doing pretty okay. Why aren't you eagerly waiting for WrestleMania 32? I mean, the build-up has been fantastic. Not.
Because the card sucks big floppy donkey dick.
But don't worry about the card right now. Worry about the performance that you may get out of the card.
See, that's true. See, like, I know Kevin Owens is going to steal the show. I know Sami Zayn is going to steal the show. I know Ziggler is going to steal the show. I know, like...
Sin Cara is going to steal the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Listen, the card may not be as stacked as you like. And you know there's going to be like a 20-minute music piece in between. Which is something that I don't watch wrestling for. But still, it is...
Why is Flo Rida there? Why?
Because this is my house.
Why does he have a Legends contract?
He stole it from Paige.
Why does he have a Legends contract?
I don't know why he has a...
And how come the authorities...
He's done a theme song for like four or five pay-per-views, apparently.
So how come the authorities haven't been called when a, like, buff-ass mother umpa has stolen a house from a little English woman? Why?
But I think the build-up to WrestleMania is where the lack of excitement for the event is coming. The only real event with that heat on it is Shane Undertaker, and even that is getting a little bit tepid.
Because now they threw, like, Vince threw in Undertaker's career, so now it's like you know what's going to happen now.
So what's going to happen? This is the intrigue that I have. Is what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, you wrote an article about
it. Yeah, I mean, I want the Bullet Club to come in and just destroy the shit out of the Undertaker.
But does that mean that Balor comes up? Does that mean that he drops the championship to Joe at NXT TakeOver Dallas?
See, because this is the thing. I think Balor's tenure in NXT had its moments, and now it's kind of like tepid. It's like, eh. You
There's
know?
No real challenger.
Yes, so he needs to lose that. And the thing is, he needs to lose it by being screwed. So this way, like, he has all the reason to be pissed off when he goes to the WWE, and he'll be like, I'm Finn Balor, and I'm pissed off, blah, 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 you know?
And I take 2 minute breaths in between my statements.
Oh my god. It's like sometimes...
You know what? He has gotten a lot better on the mic.
He has. But you know what it is? It's like, it's so funny. Because it's like, working in education, I have some fantastic students. But the thing is, some of my students don't speak English as their first language. So they may say the most, like, beautiful thing. Like, they'll analyze a text and it'll be beautiful. But it's like, it'll take them a little bit longer. And I look in their eyes and I see the wheels are turning. And what they're doing is they're translating to themselves. So it's like, I feel like wrestling speak is a completely different language. It's cliche ridden. It's fucking, it's exaggerated. And it's like, some guys need that like little extra time to like kind of translate things. And I feel like Balor still does that. Instead of just like Stone Cold, I just say what I want. It's just wrestling speak and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I feel like Finn Balor has got to think of what he's going to say. The way he's going to say it like a wrestler, you know? It's like, dude, just...
Be yourself.
It's like when I listen to Kenny Omega, mm-hmm. It's like he's living a dream. He's saying exactly what he wants to say because...
But he is that cleaner character.
Yes, exactly. So just be yourself. Just be yourself. Be that little asshole that you were when you were like 9 years old, shooting promo in the mirror, you know? Be that guy. And it's like... Triple H has given him an avenue in NXT to be that guy. So it's like, if you haven't... I think he's taken advantage of it as far as, like, what he does in the ring. I love the fact that he's doing the Sunday Bloody Sunday as his finisher now instead of the double stomp. I think that says volumes about, like, the type of wrestler he is. I want him to still do the double stomp, and he will, but that Sunday Bloody Sunday, it's like a single arm... elevated brainbuster DDT. It's fucking beautiful. you know? So, it's like, he needs to be the guy. Him, and they need to bring Gallows and Anderson, all of them, and they just need to fucking destroy The Undertaker and have Shane kind of be like the guy that's like, listen, Vince, you did this to yourself. I'm not responsible for these guys. These guys are something completely different. They're gonna fucking destroy everything that you stand for because you're a dick and you gave the company to Stephanie and she would rather fucking push, you know, the Funkadactyls instead of real wrestlers and shit like that, and that's the way you get it started. So it's like Undertaker loses, end of an era, beginning of something new. That's what I see.
But now do you think that this is the beginning? What you just said, and then what you have coming into Reigns and Triple H. Oh. We all know Reigns is coming out with the belt. But for all the time that we've spent saying Reigns needs a heel turn, do you think it's time to do it now? You do a double turn.
Not even. You know what? At this point, you know exactly what I would do is I would have the Bullet Club beat the shit out of The Undertaker, have them establish their presence at WrestleMania, and then what you do is you have AJ Styles beat Chris Jericho, okay? And then the next night, AJ Styles comes out as the face, and he's like, listen, I beat Jericho. Jericho is one of the greatest world champions of all time. Roman, I know you had a crazy match with Triple H last night, but I would be honored to wrestle you for the title tonight. And Roman Reigns is still the, oh, believe in me, blah, blah, blah. And he comes out, and then what happens is Styles is the one that does the fucking turn. And with Balor, and with Gallows, and with Anderson, they beat the shit out of Reigns. And then Styles takes the fucking title. And then fuck Roman Reigns, fuck his heel turn, fuck all that nonsense, because nobody cares about it. And then you have the Bullet Club with the title in 2 days. It would cause anarchy. It would cause anarchy. People would be so excited, like, holy shit. First off, AJ Styles winning the world title so fast goes against everything that the WWE stands for.
And that's why it probably won't happen.
But that's why it would work, too. You know?
But I don't think Vince is on board with that.
He's
I
not.
I don't think he's going to do it. And that's why I think the double turn with Reigns siding with Vince after he lost control of Raw, right? I think Bullet Club coming out and messing with the Undertaker's match, giving Shane control of Raw, leaving the authority only in control of SmackDown. So you have a pseudo brand split, and what you do is you go ahead and you have Vince furious, cuts a deal with Roman Reigns to beat up on Triple H, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beats up on Triple H, and then Triple H becomes the man that everyone at NXT knows he can be. He's the face of the future. He's no longer the authority figure. Now, he doesn't. His talent like contract's this. Coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's a good way to push him as, now I'm just a business guy, yeah. And I'll make the best decisions. And now you pit him against Vince, or you pit him against Shane, and then you have some competition.
See, my whole thing is, it's like, I hate to say it like this. One, I want to just say that's a fantastic idea. I love it. I think it works within the WWE's frame of mind, the way they think. But the thing is, I don't think right now, in our wrestling culture, that the WWE can have two good shows. I don't think it could happen. I don't think wrestling fans, and this is coming from somebody that watches NXT, that if Ring of Honor was still on, I would still watch Ring of Honor, that watches Impact. I cannot watch two WWE-like shows like that. I can't. So if I can't, Is another person going to? I don't know.
You know that one show always surfaces to the top.
Yes.
You had that happen with SmackDown.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. When Paul Heyman was really behind creative there. Mm-hmm. You had stars like Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. And the emergence of John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that Raw had to accept the old WCW belt in order to be competition.
Yeah.
You know, and bring back old enemies like... like Eric Bischoff
Goldberg and Steiner.
Give you things like Chuck Palumbo, you know, and Billy Gunn. But I think, you know, like you say, you watch Ring of Honor. You know, I watch Ring of Honor on YouTube, but I could find, I can't find the continuity of it. I don't get enough Jay Lethal. I don't get enough Briscoes.
Mm-hmm.
I watch some TNA, even though it has garnered my interest again with Gallo winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows that they're prepared to take chances on guys that I think the WWE is prepared on. And if they took more chances on each show, I think you would have fair competition. Because in their eyes, they're their own competition. But they really do have to watch out for shows like Lucha Underground. Listen, an hour of Lucha Underground, it really is 45 minutes with a commercial break, right? Yeah. And as serialized and as fictionalized as it may be, it's good.
It's fun to watch, yeah.
It's fun wrestling. I mean, it's pretty mindless, but so is the WWE product.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like a superhero movie that takes itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where the WWE is having its problems, is that it's got so many writers. And in the end, one guy makes a decision, and it throws that all to the wayside when there are nuggets of good ideas. There is no reason there should be another ladder match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania, there shouldn't be a ladder match at WrestleMania.
I agree.
They've had one for the past, like, 3 years. And two of them were for belts. I think two of them were for the IC belt.
Yeah.
And again, if it's a tradition, that's fine. And they're going to establish it, that's great. But I think that should be Extreme Rules and TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Only places you should have a ladder match, unless it's a stipulation on a main event of Raw or SmackDown.
I want to just say something too, because there's been a lot of thought and a lot of conversation on the forums about bringing back titles, and there's been conversation on, like, yep, I like wrestling, about them bringing back, like, the European, the women's, and the hardcore title. I want to just say that the hardcore title should never be brought back, ever, especially with all the injuries in the WWE over the past year, but still, like, the hardcore title was, like, Vince's, like, subtle way of telling people, you know what, we have the better ECW guys, and if you really want to see them do their thing, you can watch it here instead of ECW. ECW doesn't exist anymore. There should not be a hardcore title.
And I think the hardcore title is a place where you put people who aren't as good.
Yes, of course.
It, as much fun as it was very dangerous.
Yes.
And in this era where, you know, we saw it as a kid and we understood.
Yeah. But kids are fucking stupid now. Kids are dumb.
No, it's not that, but kids have access to this all the time. And if you see promotions like CZW,
mm-hmm.
entertaining, but goddamn dangerous, some of the stuff they do is pretty dangerous. And these guys, I appreciate what they do, and I appreciate the product. But the end result is you're shortening your career.
Yeah.
And guys like Sammy Callahan, who have gone back to places like CZW and now has signed with Lucha Underground.
Thank God.
Because
he's talented. He doesn't have to do shit like that, you know?
He doesn't. And that's where I think people are equating extreme with talent.
Yes.
Right? And Tommy Dreamer came out and said it a month or two ago. He said ECW gave birth to garbage wrestling. Because then everybody thought they could wrestle. And you're not wrestling. You're hitting each other with fluorescent lamps.
And that's the thing, too. Tommy Dreamer didn't necessarily have to do all that stuff, too. He was capable of having a good match with just about anybody on the ECW roster.
And he's proved that he was capable of having a good match.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter remains is you have these two marquee shows, TLC and Extreme Rules. That's the only place where that should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're distilling the product, right? And if you distill it, it's more pure form. Those are the only two places it can exist. If you go ahead and add it to every other show, it's just grain whiskey. It's not the mash. It's not the good stuff. So why do you keep putting stars like Kevin Owens and Kalisto, Kevin Owens, I just did a Michael Cole. You do Kevin Owens and Ziggler and Sami Zayn, who has just come back from an injury in a very dangerous match.
Because they don't care, and that's the thing. It's like, at the end of the day, all of them, every single one of them, from John Cena to Zack Ryder, are all dispensable independent contractors that are there to make money for as long as they possibly can, and in the rare case that they become a proven commodity, someone like Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan or Stone Cold or The Rock, that they can continually make money from in one way or another, they will. Otherwise, they'll just use them and spit them out when they're done. I hate to say it like that. You know? And the thing is, there should be a very, very close limit on hardcore matches. Bottom line, because they're not needed. And the same thing goes for all these spot fests. This is one of the reasons why TNA isn't taken nearly as seriously as they could, because a real wrestling fan knows that there's a difference between a spot that tells a story and then just a fucking spot fest. And a lot of the times, a lot of great matches in TNA suffer from that. But they just become spot fest. Another thing that I wanted to add to go through the rest of that post was the European title. Why the fuck would you bring that back? Nobody cared about the European title when it was out. Don't bring it back.
Wait. But D'Lo Brown in that spot.
I knew you were going to say that. They did. But it's a mid-card. This is the thing. You're not using the Intercontinental title properly. You're not using the United States title properly. If you use those titles properly, you have your mid-card handled beautifully. If you really have the need to bring back a title, bring back the WCW TV title. And what you do is you rebrand it as the WWE Network title. And what happens is every single in-ring show from Raw, SmackDown, Superstars, NXT, anything, that title will be defended on that show. And it doesn't matter if the guy's from NXT, it doesn't matter. And what happens is whoever wins it, they have an open challenge and anyone comes out. So what John Cena did with the U.S. title in a very short amount of time, he made it very viable, he made it very exciting, is what you do with the WWE Network title. You know, and that you could even do what like New Japan does, where New Japan sometimes has like a freelancer win it, a guy that really isn't even affiliated with the company, a guy that they kind of want to show the mass audience and see if the mass audience could get into him. It could be pretty cool. So I would rather have that than, because everyone's like, oh, Shane comes back, he gets control of Raw, he brings back all of these titles and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. No, the WWE, as far as like their titles, aren't in that bad shape. They just have to use what they have. They're not using what they have. So, to get back to WrestleMania, because we kind of, you know, went off course a little bit, it's like, I'm not excited about Reigns versus Triple H. I'm not excited. It's going towards a potential brand split, and the first brand split didn't work either. So it's like, don't do it again. Find ways to use what you have better. Shane versus Undertaker, not excited about that. That Intercontinental ladder match has way too many moving parts in it. It's like, I love Stardust, but why? Why is he in this? You know, why do we want to just give everyone a WrestleMania check? Is that what we want to do now? No. Being on the WrestleMania card, this is the thing. A lot of people say, oh, you know, it used to mean something to be on WrestleMania. It's like, have you seen the first fucking card, the first WrestleMania card? Special Delivery Jones was on the fucking card. They did the same thing back then that they do now. Every, like, good worker, every guy that, like, kind of, like, punches his card at the end of the day, every, like, person that they feel deserves to be on that card, they will find ways to get on that card. But it shouldn't be that way anymore. It shouldn't be that way. The card should be, they should have 25-minute matches. Like, all the big matches should be beautifully told stories. You should have a couple of squash matches in there, but that should be like a return. Somebody comes back, and they're like, oh, shit, and then it's like a squash match. But then it's like what happened with Daniel Bryan and, not Daniel Bryan, what happened with Warrior and Triple H at SummerSlam, like, a million years ago, where Ultimate Warrior came back and just squashed him. Nobody expected him to squash Triple H then, you know? Even though Triple H was like the blue blood, they expected him to like last a little bit longer than he did, you know? So it's like something like that. There's no storytelling being told anymore. It's like the biggest thing that they've added to this Reigns thing is now all of a sudden he comes through like the entrance like everybody else. That was like the coolest part of his entrance. So now he's even more plain than he was before. Now he's even more vanilla. Now he's just like, oh, women love him. Oh, Roman, oh my God. It's It's like you are so shitty. You are so awful.
So let me ask you this: now that part of the Shield stuff has been taken away, is it time for Roman to become his own man?
He should have been his own man a year ago. Change his music. They changed his entrance. His entrance sucks now. Because this is the thing. He is so stiff when he comes out. He doesn't do anything. What does he do? He just walks out. So it's like another guy
that's
that has...
That's the badass in him. He doesn't stand into the crowd.
But he should, because
he has a face.
He has nothing. Yes, he's a face. He has nothing. Oh my god. It's like, you're giving me a spear as your finisher. You've got nothing.
He has two signatures, and one requires a lot of setup, which is the kick that he does from the outside.
Yeah, the basement drop kick, the inside out basement drop kick. See, and I like that, and I like the Superman punch, and I like that one arm sit out power bomb he does, the Samoan drop. He's got some stuff there that he could work with, but it's all been done by other people. Most of it, it's like, dude, you're not special.
I mean, Lashley ends his matches with a spear. He's so gigantic.
But see, the thing is, too, Lashley does that little, like, almost like Marcus Corvan, like, spin at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he adds an extra element to his spear. Like, he throws his entire body into the spear and, like, spins, like, does a flip almost after. You know? But then the thing
and
is, too,
he's gigantic.
And
Roman.
Lashley is like a perfect combination of like Lesnar and Reigns. The fact that he's like very athletic.
Still no personality.
But he has no personality. Yeah.
That's a problem with the big guy.
He needs a valet or a manager bit. And they tried Gabby from Tough Enough. And that lasted like 2 weeks. I don't know what happened. She probably had sex with half of the what's it called?
Creative.
Yeah. Because I mean, that was like the rumor in Tough Enough that she was like a bit of a, hose bag. So, you know what? If her husband's listening, I'm sorry, but, you know, you seem to be cool with it during Tough Enough that, like, if anything happened while she was there, then it's like, alright, whatever, dude. But, yeah, Reigns' story, it's like, that's the biggest problem with the Reigns and the Usos. It's like, they don't do anything necessarily bad, and I think the Usos are fantastic workers. But, like, the Usos are like the fucking Jacksons. Minus the personality. They're the Young Bucks with no personality.
But when you look at the WrestleMania card as a whole, it's very impressive. You have Ryback and you have Kalisto.
Ugh.
But there, you see, this is where you went, ugh, right? Because of what you see on TV. What I saw Ryback and Kalisto do in a live event shows me that they are fairly limited in what they can show.
Yeah.
One, because Ryback could fucking book it in the ring.
And he's
moving around, and he was moving around with Eric Rowan. And it was pretty good, to say the least. You know, they were both hitting high spots, and he does this suplex where he holds the guy up for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Saw flash bulbs popping off. And with someone like Kalisto, you know, it's going to be very believable. You can hold him up there for a long time.
If
someone as heavy as Eric Rowan, you're like, all right, you know, that guy's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know, but still, I think there could be some magic in that match if they have enough time to work. Can Ryback hold down a 20-minute match? Probably not.
Yeah.
But
I don't think Kalisto can either.
You don't think so?
I don't think he has enough thing. Like, he has the Selena Del Sol. He's got that kick. He's got, like, that head scissors driver.
He's got the spinning.
Yeah, I love that. That's a beautiful move. But, again, I think this is an 8 to 10 minute match at the most.
But what if you give him time to breathe, right? And you don't give us a lot of false finishes. You see, that's the problem. False finishes don't equate good matches.
Yeah.
Build up and the story that you tell, have Ryback go for the mask. I know Del Rio did it every fucking match, right? But have Ryback go for the mask.
Yeah.
If you want heat on him,
Yeah.
Right.
See, but that's
the
thing,
like,
too.
The one thing to do.
Like, what are they doing with Ryback? Are they trying to make him a heel? Are they trying to just make him a guy that goes out and does whatever the fuck he wants, like a tweener? Like, what are they doing? What are they doing?
You know, the tweener thing only really works when you're like Dean Ambrose.
Or when you're cool.
Yeah, it doesn't really work when you should be on one side or the other. And yeah. Ryback is, you know what, people like him though, which is the sad part.
And I like him too, but it's like he's missing something.
There's nothing to like, which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
His moves are powerful. And he is a likable guy. But what comes off, what creative is given him, makes him unlikable.
I agree.
You know, it's like Barrett. He's a likable guy. But creative wants you to not like him so bad that you want to like him in spite. And I think Kalisto needs a bit of an edge. Why don't you give him a little bit of a vicious streak in here? Like, you know, he's tired of getting pushed around. And that's the story you can tell.
I loved that they had Sin Cara in that old black costume a couple weeks ago. Like, he looked like Venom. It looked awesome. Like, they should do something like that with Kalisto. Have him come out and just be like, you know what, yeah, I'm small. But have him kick Ryback in the fucking balls. You know?
Yeah, or just give me like 2 or 3 minutes of Kalisto being pushed around so much for being small, yeah. Right? Get angry, like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe switch up his gear, but he could fall into that tweener.
Yeah, he could.
Because everyone likes the high-flying guys. They're natural faces. Mm-hmm. And we've had this discussion before.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, when has there been a heel?
Vicious luchador.
Yeah. Yes, never. Not in the U.S., anyway.
No, but you have people like Pentagon over, Pentagon Jr. over in Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking vicious. Guy doesn't speak a lick of English.
Yep, doesn't have to.
Right? They don't even translate his promos. Right? Listen to this, guys. Listen to this. They don't even translate his promos. And he gets over with the people there. And I like the guy because he's got zero fear.
Yep.
Cero miedo. It makes sense. Right? But the fact is, you have someone who's bilingual and who speaks both tongues very well. Right? In Kalisto. Right, and Sin Cara. Give these guys a bit of a vicious streak.
Yep.
And you have a guy who has the U.S. Championship and real contenders for the Tag Team Championships. You know, because they need someone. They've been turned face, despite what anyone wants to say.
Oh,
they've been turned face.
Absolutely.
And they've been face for a while.
Yeah.
But now it's official on behalf of the company. But if you give Kalisto an ability to show an aggressiveness from being bullied, right, the problem is, you can't be a bully because you need to be a star. This is where your corporate campaign and your TV campaign must differ.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, maybe it's the kid who stands up to the bully. You know, and that's a story you could tell. And maybe you get more excitement out of that match.
See, and that's a role Ryback has played before, and a role that he's good at. I mean, I remember SummerSlam a couple of years ago, when they had all the vignettes of him, like, fucking with the catering crew. Like pouring beans over people's heads and stuff. That stuff was like, it was better than a lot of the stuff that he's doing now, you know. So why don't we go back to that, you know? So, and instead of being like the Rey Mysterio giant killer, still a good guy, blah blah blah. It's like, yeah, let him be the giant killer. But I'm telling you, man, if he like buzzsaw kicked like Ryback in the fucking balls, and then like did like what's it called, like a code breaker, but like on Ryback's face or something, and Ryback had to wear a mask instead, you know, because his face was fucked up, and Kalisto was like, see, how's it feel now? You got a mask on, stupid. You know, like, that would be great TV.
It would. And it'll give some juice to this feud coming out of WrestleMania.
Yep.
Which is, WrestleMania is the culmination of stories, but it's also the creation of new ones.
I agree, but I think this feud is over after WrestleMania, to be honest.
Yeah, but what could come out of it?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it doesn't have to be the same program for 6 months, which is another problem they fall into. But the ladder match, why is Zack Ryder and Sin Cara in this?
Because they want to give them a check.
Yeah, Zack Ryder already gets a check from going down to NXT. Yeah. Sin Cara does plenty of live events, and he's still getting money for the TV shirts. As much as I like those two guys, trust me, I like them. Why isn't Tyler Breeze?
I agree. Because Vince doesn't like Tyler Breeze.
So you got Tyler Breeze, you got Miz, you got Ziggler, you have Zayn, you have Owens, tell me that's not a five-star match, or at least a potential for a good four- or five-star match.
See, what they should have did is they should have did it like...
Or AJ style.
Mm-hmm. They should have did it like TNA style. They should have had like a six-man gauntlet ladder match, and then right after that match is over, then Owens comes out and Owens fights the winner. So you could do one or two things. Owens could be like the typical heel and be a scumbag, and he'll be fresh and win the match easily. Or you could have somebody like Zayn win and then have a balls-to-the-wall match with Owens and then still just come up short, and then that builds their feud moving forward. You know?
So what you're telling me is you can still get all these guys on the card and still have two good matches.
Yes. But, you know, I don't get paid by WWE, so...
But you see, sometimes one scoop on the ice cream cone is enough.
I want two scoops.
Yeah, but the problem is you want two, and you get Zack Ryder is doing his thing with the Hype Bros. How did he make it into an Intercontinental Championship
It makes
match?
Zero sense from a storyline point of view. Zero.
You understand what I mean? And yeah. I understand what they did.
It makes no sense.
Is, you know, Kevin Owens is such a coward, which he played perfectly.
He
that
did.
Was some best TV out there in a while.
He did.
You know, and I'm just saying, it's like,
he's
three guys they have
character.
Are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but is it because Vince is finally warming up to him?
Maybe.
Or is it because he shows, apparently he stays behind in Gorilla and he watches things happen. So maybe he realizes that he can't do this forever,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that struck a chord with Vince, and Vince is giving him airtime.
Well, it's like Jim Cornette told, you know, Owens years ago, listen, you do great shit in the ring, but you're not going to be able to do it forever, so why don't you fucking calm down with the, you know, implant drivers through tables on women, and all the wacky shit that you do to get page views on YouTube. Why don't you fucking calm it down a little bit and try and work a real match? You know, so it's like, I'm happy that he's developing a character. He reminds me a lot of Mick Foley. That, like, one thing got him to the dance, but it's not necessarily that one thing that's going to keep him in the dance for a long time. And I think that he's learning that. I think he's incredibly charismatic. I think he's very good on the mic, but he's a fantastic worker. So it's like he needs to develop the other side, but then not forget what got him to the dance at the same time, too. You know?
So, coming out of that, Divas match.
Oh.
It may be the match of the night.
Oh, and what does that say? The match that I want to go make sure that, like, I don't have any dingleberries on my taint is going to be the match of the night.
Come on. These three ladies could do a very good match.
Of course they can, and I love all three of them, especially Sasha. but it's like, why is it triple threat matches are like the WWE and like the professional wrestling world's way of saying, we can't sell this match being a singles match, so we're going to add another moving part to it. And it's like, I feel like Becky hasn't been as dominant as the other two, and I feel like she needed a angle with somebody else to get her over a little bit more before she got to this
point. You
know
who's gotten more over in the past couple of weeks? Natty.
Yeah. Well, did you see the match with Natty and Charlotte?
Yeah.
It was great.
I wrote about it on ReviewFix.com.
Yes, you did. That's a great site. The guy that owns it's fucking hot, man, and I'm not gay either, so.
Well, I just, you know, it's like, your camera is focused in one direction, and the story is going on somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's writing with blinders.
Yep.
You know, and that's something that we were taught as journalists to, sometimes you may want to write the story, but the story is something else.
Yes, yes.
And that depends on how people react.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still getting reactions, and she's still connecting with people.
Dude, when Charlotte had her in the figure eight, and she was like, "No, no," the crowd was going ape shit. They were like, "Holy
shit!" They were growing
hot.
Yep. And that's what you want.
Yep.
So Becky is good, and I really do like Becky as a wrestler.
I do too.
And she's come a long way from her Irish dancing.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was ridiculous.
On one of the first podcasts, we actually. That.
But we also said that she was good in the ring.
Yeah.
Because she was.
But the problem is, I haven't seen enough from her.
Yeah.
It's like, I've seen enough of Naomi and Sasha to know that Sasha is a threat. I've seen just enough of Becky to understand that she could be a factor.
Yeah.
And Charlotte has grown into her role as a heel.
She just doesn't need her father anymore. I hate
she
to say that.
but this is the match where you do where you break him.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the match where you break him, and then he takes Becky. Is what I would do. One, because he already kissed her.
That's true.
Right? And you know, he's the kiss stealing.
Woo!
Show stopping. No, but he's the... I'm
sick of seeing him on TV.
Yeah, but out of spite to his daughter, he goes and he becomes the mouthpiece for Becky. I think that's kind of what she is.
Yeah, I think
so too. Because she is pretty plain as a face. Maybe, and she was pretty good when she was with Sasha down in NXT when she was a heel. So maybe this could be a way to balance out the division. You know, now that you have the addition of Emma into the women's division, she's coming out on main event to feud with Paige.
Thank God.
Dude,
because Emma's so good.
I know. And her match with Asuka this week on NXT was fantastic.
And the thing is, too, it's like, how much longer are you going to allow Emma to be enhancement talent? She's so fucking good.
She doesn't deserve to be enhancement talent. Neither does Dana Brooke yet. But she still has a ways to go.
Yeah.
But now that that the women's division has been replenished at NXT, because they do have people coming in.
Yes.
But then you have so many women on your main roster that this 5-man tag match with Brie Bella and Lana and Summer Rae and Tamina, and now you have a full division. Now you have to start telling stories that aren't tied to you.
Yes.
You know, we've had this discussion before ad nauseum, but coming out of WrestleMania with Sasha being the champion, you have an open field.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have Becky make the claim for the belt.
And where the fuck is Paige? Where is Paige?
Paige is on main event feuding with Emma.
Why?
I'm pretty sure it's because she got another tattoo and Carano told her not to, and now she's being punished.
This is so stupid.
That's what Total Divas is telling me.
Yeah.
That's what your show is telling me, is that she can't get a tattoo, she can't do what she wants with her body. And because she's going to upset corporate, and corporate's going to tell creative to put you on main event. You're lucky you have screen time. You're on main event. That's the message you're telling me.
Which is ridiculous, because she's the best person they have. She's the best they have.
And she's the best they have to feud with Sasha.
Yeah.
But now, technically, you have three claims for the throne coming out of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You have Becky, you have Paige, and... in a weird way, you have Emma.
Yeah.
Because Emma is the one that Paige beat for the NXT Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So if Paige and Sasha go into a feud, which could be money, right, while Becky runs through the rest of the division proving her claim, right, mm-hmm. you have Emma going, well, I'm the one that you had to beat first.
Yeah.
Right? I was the gatekeeper to your success.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a natural story there moving into maybe another triple threat down the road, right, which is unfortunate. Or, you know, maybe Paige and Emma, and then the winner of that one becomes a new number one contender for the I was about to say women's champion, the Divas belt. Yeah, I just gave
you
like 6 or 7 months of direction for the division. And it's just simple extrapolation on what the parts that you have.
It's like the people that write this shit don't watch it. It's like,
or is it that they may put something out there, but Emma's a fairly timid person, except when she's cooking. She's actually pretty okay at that.
Yeah.
If she will go to Vince and say, hey, make me the gatekeeper to other success, right, I think it could work. I think her... you know, being a roadblock, pun intended, to Paige is necessary in mm-hmm. order to, one, get her over and to make Paige credible again, because she's been off TV for too long.
Why don't they find a way to incorporate her cooking into the show? You know?
I don't know, because that's too Zack Ryder-ish.
Yeah.
You don't make your own star. Vince makes your star. And that's the problem with what I think with the card. To come back to our original point, the problem with the card is that Vince wants to make these stars when he already has stars that are there.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, even Zack Ryder, as much as he may just be the company guy, he still gets a good amount of reaction from the crowd. Sin Cara gets reaction from the crowd when he starts to roll.
Mm-hmm.
When his matches start getting time, people start getting behind him, and he doesn't have to work the crowd as much because he has time to show what he has.
Yeah.
Even Stardust, you know, as much as people like Screaming Cody, he is someone who could be a credible threat for the IC title to a Kevin Owens reign, to an AJ Styles reign, to a Chris Jericho reign, because he comes from a wrestling family. He has the lineage. Oh, wait, am I talking about Cody Rhodes or am I talking about Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he's a small guy. He fits that kooky mm-hmm. character that you need. But you already have Stardust and you have R-Truth. And you have these kooky characters that are already there. You don't need another one.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, it's time for Stardust to go away.
I feel like Cody, too, has never gotten a fair shake. Like, it's like, I wrote about this a couple of years ago, and it's like every move that Cody does is, it's like Cody is a huge student of the game, and it's like he has taken moves from the right people. You know, it's like everything that he does, somebody else does, and it's like, I feel like Cody really needs to find what works for him, that only works for him, and then he needs to go back and be like, listen, my family has 100 years combined in this business. I could easily spit out and give you some regurgitated shit, but I'm not. I'm Cody Runnels, you know? Like, this is what I do. And he needs to do something completely different. He needs to be innovative. He needs to innovate something different, you know? And until he does that, he's always going to have a job in the business. But he's never going to be the star like that his father was, and he's not even going to be... Because, I mean, let's be fair. Even though Goldust has never won the world title, he was a mainstay for a very long time, you know? So, and he's always found a way to, like, entertain and shit. And Cody hasn't really done that. Cody's always been the guy that's been in, like, the B angle or whatever. He's never been given a real opportunity to thrive.
Last time we spoke about Cody Rhodes, I gave you a way to make him credible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And that way... is not the only way.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think it's the best way. Because like you just said, his moveset is there. He has more moves than some of the other guys.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And for him to be relegated to the angle all the time, including the reaction that he gets from his online videos with Eden Rhodes, where they do nerdy stuff for the neighborhood, they put out candy for the kids. He's everything you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, why aren't you, one, honoring the tradition of Dusty? Don't let him win.
I hate to say it, but it's like, they talk about shit like this all the time, oh, how much Dusty mattered. Dude, they shit on Dusty when he fucking first came, you know? Then he went back to WCW, and he was like a part of, like, the enemy. You know, then he was even in ECW and in TNA for a while. It's like, Dusty Rhodes is one of those guys that he made the business work for him, which is great. Which is what every guy should do, you know? So it's like, when he died, they put, like, the brand on that he was, like, a WWE guy. He wasn't. He was a Dusty Rhodes guy.
He was a wrestling guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he did what he had to for his family.
Yes.
Which is something that should be explored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, now Cody has a family that hasn't begun yet. So he needs to put himself in a better position. Maybe have that blow-off match that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like that horrible, horrible Fastlane match where Goldust got injured.
Oof.
You know, that should be the blow-off match. It should happen one more time, but now you have him involved with Golden Truth, which is something that's coming out of WrestleMania as well.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that either.
Why not? I think it would be pretty entertaining.
It is, but it's like both of those guys, like, Ron Killings, you know, the Truth or whatever, he can fucking work. And it's like, and he's funny, but it's like, are they really going to get a shot at the tag team titles? Or is this just going to be, like, is this going to be Steve Blackman and Al Snow all over again? You know? I don't know.
But here's the thing with Truth is that a couple years ago, he was a legitimate threat to the top spot.
Oh, yeah.
And then he fell from grace. But he understands his role in the company.
Oh, yeah.
Which is which is what's important. But going forward, the tag titles are where the action may start as we work our way down the card in analysis. The tag titles is where you have Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson come up.
Yeah, I agree.
Or you do it the next night on Raw. When would you do it? I would do it at the biggest show on the planet.
Yeah, so would I.
I would have those people go nuts.
Yeah, because right now there's not enough moments for them to go nuts.
So you give Carl Anderson, right, and Gallows, you give him a huge spot. You have him cost a New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day you have a rollover whoever won the titles.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, they set up an easy win for them on Raw.
Yeah.
And then you start to build your anarchy. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only thing that we really have to say coming out of the tag team spot, you know, at WrestleMania.
It needs to build up to something better, because it's like the New Day right now are completely in a league of their own, and we've learned over the last couple of months that they can be excellent champions, but they can also be excellent hunters of championships, too. They don't need the titles to be a viable tag team.
And their singles matches have proven that the parts are, you know, live up to the sum of... So
yeah, they're interchangeable.
What am I trying to say?
Yeah.
It's not... I'm going to edit that out. 58:35.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm writing it down.
It's 46 minutes, actually.
46
yeah.
For you?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the sum of their parts is not equal to, you know, is equal to the big product. You know, these guys are good, and they've proven themselves in singles action.
Yeah, they're totally good by themselves. You know, they all have different
roles. So now
what
you have going forward is the League of Nations has no heat on it, and it should die. It really should.
So the thing is, they win the titles at WrestleMania, and then they lose them the next night, which would be great. Mm-hmm.
Because, one, now you have heat between three teams.
Yep.
You know, and that's where you build, you know, and then you have Gallows and Anderson win it the next night. And then what you do is, now the League of Nations like, hey, well, you know, those are really ours, and blah, blah, blah. And you have the New Day, and then... But where does that leave someone like the possible introduction of Enzo and Cass?
Maybe you have Enzo and Cass start a feud. Maybe after the League of Nations loses, they start talking shit and stuff like that. And they say that they deserve a shot at the title. Maybe you have Enzo and Cass fight the League of Nations for a little while.
But is that really what they deserve?
Not really, but if...
Or do you have them go over the Usos?
That you could do too, but see, the thing is, from what we've learned from the way Vince likes to book NXT guys, is he never starts them off the way that they should anyway. So it's like, unless you're Kevin Owens, you know, who was booked marvelously when he first came in. But they need a feud where like fans can get into them, you know, and they need a group that Enzo could rip into, and I think. It's really hard to rip into Jay and Jimmy because they're faces, and plus,
and then you'll turn heel.
Yeah, and that's not what you want.
So you need the League of Nations.
Yeah, which Enzo could have a fucking field day with Rusev by himself. You know, so that makes a lot of sense.
I've seen guys like you over at Ben's and hers, so you know, but. Okay, coming out of that match, right? Mm-hmm. You have Shane Undertaker, and this is where you say you bring Balor in.
Yeah.
So this is where you say you have the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to see a clean finish in this match?
I don't.
I don't. It's like, see, like the dog's growling. He doesn't want to see a clean match, a clean win either. You know,
but would you do that? Do you risk Balor's popularity?
See, the thing is, Balor won't get over the way that he's supposed to get over unless he's a heel. That's what I feel. You don't dress a guy up as a fucking demon and expect him to be a face.
But will it just become a distraction?
I don't think so. I think because he's talented enough, and if you sort of...
But he can't just run in.
No, there's got to be...
There's got to be the smoke and the entrance.
Yes. He's got to come in as the demon. Yeah.
Does he come in from underneath the ring, you know, as demons usually do? Or because then he's got to stay out there the whole fucking show.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I would have his whole entrance.
He can't do the whole thing, you know, the swimming from the crowd. And, you know.
Yeah, not the whole thing, but just enough of it, you know? Where it's like, he comes out.
Because he throws his arm up, because that'd be a fantastic visual.
Yes, I want him to come out in the darkness or whatever, and then, like, Shane and Undertaker just, like, stop, and they're, like, kind of looking at each other, you know? And then, you know, he does the fall, and the lights go on, and then Shane...
And all those people throwing their arms up. Because, yep. You know, they're marks.
Yep.
All those people throwing their arms up at the same time. Could you imagine 80 or 90,000 people throwing their arms up? There's going to be some people that don't know what the hell is going on.
Sure. Sure, because not everybody watches NXT as much as they're fucking idiots and they should.
The place would blow off if that happened.
Sure.
And Vince McMahon will go, I just made a ton of money. And people will rush to merchandise stands. Because what you do is, afterwards, you go, you know, during the musical intermission, you go, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the demon has showed up. The next day on Raw, merchandise stands are sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could barely touch them at a live event.
Yep.
You could barely go to the merchandise desk because people just want these shirts and they will pay $5 or $10 above the price just to get them, right? Okay. And they rush the stands just buying this demon stuff and it'd be great. And the kids dressed in, could you imagine?
It'll work.
You know, and then have Gallows and Anderson come out with him? Mm-hmm. Or do you still want them with AJ Styles?
Well, I think the four of them should be a group, but I think Gallows and Anderson should come out. Once Balor lays his hands on Undertaker and it's like it's apparent that like Balor by himself may not be able to like take him out, then you bring in, you know what I'm saying?
The heat coming off that place.
And then the next night, like when it appears like whoever they challenge or whatever, maybe that things are like a little even, then that's when you have AJ Styles come out, be like, no. Not happening.
But you see, he's still face.
Yep.
Coming out, because he has a match at WrestleMania too.
Yep. And,
you know, he has to go over on that match.
Yeah, but that's the perfect time to turn him heel, because it's like, listen, I came here, I'm fucking 38 years old, I have a wife, I have a family, I have all this shit, and then, you know, I'm supposed to have a title shot for something, and then instead I get put in a fucking stupid feud with Chris Jericho because of the way this stupid company is run, you know, like, that could...
So you would let him pipe bomb?
Absolutely. Be like, listen, I'm not new. You know, everyone's saying like, oh, I'm the phenomenal one. Yes, but I've been the fucking phenomenal one. Let me
and
be
I
phenomenal.
Deserve
yeah,
better.
Yeah. And just be like, there's a reason why I never really wrestled for this company. Because they wouldn't give me an opportunity. And I had to go somewhere else. I had to go to Disney World for 12 years. And then I had to go to Japan before I was able to come here. Because of how fucked up this place is. So
I had to work Wednesdays in Nashville for years to mm-hmm. get here.
So you know what we're doing now? We're taking over, you know? And, like, you don't think Luke Gallows has that promo in him, too?
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely. You know? So, it's
but,
like...
But do you run the risk of overexposing Gallows in that... The Gallows and Anderson in that interfering way?
Nah, I don't think you're going to overexpose them.
So they're coming out for two matches.
Why not? Fuck it. You know, it's like it's
because AJ could win by himself.
That's true.
You know, he doesn't need anyone to come out and help him.
So no, but that what I'm saying is, I would have Gallows and Anderson come out in the tag team match. I wouldn't have him come out in the AJ match.
But you would have him come out in the Undertaker match.
Yes, after Balor comes out. So first Balor comes out, and then Undertaker and Balor are going at it, and it's kind of even. You know, maybe Balor gives him the sling blade, and then Undertaker starts to fight back. And then when it appears that, like, Undertaker is starting to, like, come back, then you have Gallows and Anderson come out, and then just eliminate any thought that Undertaker has an opportunity. You know? So...
Well, the only thing we have left to discuss is the main event.
Yeah, Lesnar and Ambrose.
That match, Bray's gonna interfere.
Yeah, he has to. He
and
has to.
It's gonna cost Dean something. So he's going to interfere, but then Dean should beat on him.
But now we have to say, too, is Bray healthy enough? Because there was a reason why he wasn't in Roadblock.
He isn't. I went to the live event the next week, and he was still feeling it in his back. He was working it as a sell from the move.
Yeah.
But he, you know, Braun Strowman is a mountain of a man.
Ugh.
And he does have potential, Patrick.
No, he does. He does.
He has great potential in the ring. He did a lot more than he usually does on TV. And if he only had the chance to do that, you know, on TV, I think this is a place you show him.
Yeah.
Just show him, and he has. Luke Harper's out with an injury during a dark match. He went down with an ACL tear.
Oh.
It appears to be an ACL tear. Nothing's been confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke Harper is down, but Bray Wyatt, Brock Lesnar has already run through Luke Harper.
Yeah.
So now he has to run through Eric Rowan. Make him run the gamut until SummerSlam when he finally faces off against Bray Wyatt.
Oh, so it's like we're going to have to deal with another fucking 7 months of this. Oh my God.
Unfortunately.
Awful.
Or the beating is so bad that he comes back.
The Wyatt family just has no, they have no swag right now at all.
They don't, because they've been booked into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are, like we've said before, they're the guys who talk shit and never back it up.
Yeah. So you have Lesnar win that match,
but the problem is, the product of the match has to mean something. So does Ambrose really need that rub from Lesnar? That's what this is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he needs it. I don't think it adds anything to Dean Ambrose. Except making him the hardcore guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's what they've been doing on television the past
2 years. That's like, it goes against everything that we've been saying, because that guy shouldn't exist anymore. You know? So as much as like Dean Ambrose has that in him, and I think they want to make him a wild child. They don't necessarily want to make him hardcore, but they're doing it the wrong way. You're giving him a chainsaw, you're giving him the barbed wire bat. It's like, no, you don't want to go down this path anymore. This guy has a ton of talent. You don't want him to fucking do this to establish his legacy. It's going to be an entertaining match. To me, it's probably going to be one of the most entertaining matches on the card. And it's going to be a heck of a lot more entertaining than Reigns versus Triple H, which sadly we know how that's going to end. Reigns is winning the title.
But still, Triple H can make Reigns, like Bryan made Reigns look good, Triple H can make Reigns look good. But in the end, you know, the only natural outcome is Ambrose comes out against Reigns, because it's his time.
Yeah.
And I think if Roadblock, you don't strike now, you have to strike at SummerSlam.
Yeah. I think Roadblock proved that Ambrose could totally be over as world champion. I mean, even that little scare that we had, remember when we thought Ambrose won, when Ambrose beat Rollins and the crowd went ape shit, they were totally down for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that was almost a year ago.
So he's won the title twice already.
Mm-hmm. But hasn't won the title.
Title. So you're making him into Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me.
In a weird way, yeah.
Because he's gotten a chance, people like him. So the only natural outcome of the Lesnar-Ambrose match is that Ambrose goes over.
Yeah.
Goes over, not clean, unfortunately, because people get in the way, but Ambrose has to make a stand against those people.
Yeah.
In order to keep that face heat.
Yeah. I agree. Know?
And then, you know, maybe he takes a moment where he goes, come on, Brock, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He doesn't pin him. He goes, come on, Brock, get up. Right, and Lesnar gets up, they fight a little bit more, and Ambrose goes over with a dirty deeds on a dumpster, God knows what. You know, maybe he holds him down with a forklift in order to get the pin. It's a street fight, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to keep a guy that big down.
I agree.
You take the forklift, you know, it could be a great spot. You put him on one of those travel cases, take the forklift, you bring it down on top of him, you have Ambrose pin him, right? And then, you know, you have Lesnar go, you know, out of, like, respect, because he didn't take the dirty win, you give him a nod, maybe a handshake, and I think that's how you come out of this match.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then, if you want, you could give him Paul Heyman, even though he doesn't need it. You know.
Yeah, I would love
better serve the younger guy.
I agree, but like I think Heyman should grab another guy. I think Ambrose has what it takes to be a Heyman guy.
But he doesn't need
him. He doesn't need him. But like, just to have like that kind of seal of approval. Like, he doesn't even have to be a Heyman guy. He could just be like, Heyman could be like, you know what, Dean Ambrose, we respect you. And that would be just as good. So,
but at the end of the night, I want to see how the crowd reacts to Reigns.
They're going to boo the shit out of him, man. I'm telling you.
Are they finally going to accept it? Because at this point, you should just accept it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to accept it. I think we're going to see a ton of articles on every single wrestling website that's going to be like, see, we told you. We fucking told you. And it's going to prompt something. I'm telling you, what I think is going to happen, it's going to prompt something really big to happen at Raw the next night.
And I think, but it won't be a title change.
It could be. I mean, and then the thing is, that allows like whoever the heel is that beats Reigns to be like, listen, you held the belt for a night. You're a 3-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And you've held the belt for a night, and you've held the belt for 5 minutes. Like, just enough. Just go somewhere. Go somewhere else. Go to TNA. Go to Ring of Honor. Go somewhere. Go, you're just awful. You know? And then he has to prove himself from there. And then I think the next time he wins the title, then he has the support of the fans. He's not there.
But will he have the support of the fans?
I don't think so. I don't think he has the support of the. I don't think he'll have the support of the fans after WrestleMania. I think they need to kind of like, what did Willem Dafoe say in Spider-Man? You know, I don't want to take it back to formula. And look what happened to Green Goblin, fucking nut job, right? They got to take Roman Reigns in a way back to formula, because it's like it works on so many different elements because the kids and the women like him and stuff, but he's just not. He's not that guy. He's not that guy that could be the face of the company. He's just not. I hate to say it like that, because I like him. I like watching his matches to an extent, but it's like, he's not. I don't want to see him. Like when Cena comes back, when Orton comes back, when Cesaro comes back, can Reigns really hold the fucking ring with those guys? He can't even lick their boots.
But when they come back, here's the problem.
Rollins?
Bursting at the seams. You're bursting at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of WrestleMania, 2 months down the line, you're in the build for SummerSlam. Who are your top guys?
It's not Reigns.
Coming back after WrestleMania.
Is what?
Orton's coming back after WrestleMania. Not the next night, but yeah. Sometime in April.
A lot of questions. Those are good. Questions are good. You know? That's the reason why we watch. But at the end of the day, he's going to win, and nobody gives a shit. A lot of people are going to boo. It's not going to do anything. You know? It's not going to be sexy. There's not going to be a WrestleMania moment out of that. People are going to remember it as the way of, like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Why did this guy just win? We told you we didn't want him to win, and he won anyway. Again. You know? A lot of people are going to get fed up. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
So, you're still lukewarm on WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm optimistically looking out for it.
I'm a
just
cynic.
Just because they're like we've discussed, there's so many seeds of what could happen.
Yeah. Which is good. Because, I mean, yeah. The next time we have a podcast, we could be like, wow, we really fucked this one up. We really got this one wrong. You know?
I'm not afraid of being wrong.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid is of predicting exactly what we do.
Yeah.
And that's because if I'm able to do that and I don't get paid the big bucks,
yeah,
you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
And be paid the big bucks.
I agree.
Because in the end, you know, look at ICW over in Ireland. Grado won that championship match.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Drew Galloway. There's no reason that should happen.
Yeah.
And yet the crowd went ballistic,
yeah,
because it did happen.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm,
Drew Galloway winning the TNA championship, cashing in his Feast or Famine on Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
It's true, it was only a couple seconds, but it was the right time. You know, Jay Lethal beating Briscoe to become the Ring of Honor Championship and hold two belts and hold it for a good amount of time afterwards. It was something surprising. Something I didn't expect. You know, so what I'm trying to say here is maybe it's time for you to not fall into formula. Mm-hmm. Maybe the crowd is too smart for its own good. But sometimes sticking to the plan as hard as they have could backfire in your face really bad.
Sure. I agree.
But, you know, it's like at this point, they can't call an audible again. There is no money in the bank to be cashed in.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all out of options. They kind of have to lay in this bed.
Yeah. You know, the only thing you do is you give me the double turn that I spoke about. You know, because, you know, McMahon's at the end of his rope. He already lost control of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost control of the championship of his own company. He gives Triple H some shit, and then Triple H comes out as a face. You know, and, you know, what you do is you terminate his talent contract. You know, and and that makes sense. One, contractually it makes sense, and two, story-wise it would make even more sense. And you just go, and you just have him go, why don't you do me a favor and go down to Florida with your little pet project?
Yeah.
You know, and that'll give Vince some heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least for some people.
I agree.
And you know, and then you could book an NXT Invasion storyline.
And I think they have enough talent over
down
there.
Down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and down the road, you have Triple H's pet project, you know. Then technically you would have three brands, which you already do.
Yeah, right? You would just have them used properly.
Yeah, you know, and you could move talent around. You could have them invade on different things and have SmackDown and Raw mean something again. Because they're unpredictable and you don't know when the next attack is coming. Maybe Rod doesn't get attacked for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden Jordan and Gable come out, right? And they give Gallows and Anderson a run for their money, or they give the Usos a run for their money, and they win. You know, not a dirty attack, but like, hey, I'm going to challenge you to a match. Do you accept? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's so many ways they could go, and maybe that's why I'm optimistically waiting for.
And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of like what we have to do. This WrestleMania may not be the most enjoyable WrestleMania, but it could lead to some really crazy storyline. So at the end of the day, all we can do is just watch and wait.
So did we just waste an hour, or are we just doing exactly what they want?
Well, I think maybe my wife thinks that we wasted an hour, and I think maybe...
Is she tapping her foot?
What?
Is she tapping her foot in the doorway with her elbow?
No, she's not. She would never do that.
I want pancakes.
Yeah, she wants breakfast. I want breakfast. I don't want to talk an hour about how, like, Roman Reigns sucks ass. We know that already.
I tried to steer the conversation away from that.
Oh, okay. All right. I know. You were being the good... You were being the good co-host. You were. Because I'm like, it sucks. It's all awful. Don't watch it. And you're like, no.
No, but think of this and think of that. I don't know. I guess the journalism degree is working somehow.
It works sometimes for us, you know, until the tuition bill comes back, you know, every month.
So many.
It's like, why am I on my Great Lakes again?
I will write for food. I want to write an entire column in the voice of a 1908 sportscaster.
Oh my God.
And look at that terrific blow from Roman Reigns. The wild Samoan comes away from his island paradise in order to come to the concrete jungle of New York City.
What are you, Gordon Soleil? Like, well, that's the way the people in the South still watch.
And look at the
that.
Blue.
Just,
really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they get a little too into it. You know, like, it's, they took their germ, they took their germ. You know, it's like, you know it's fake, right? You know it's... Oh no, I just said it's fake, which means like the boogeyman is gonna come out and fucking kick my ass and stuff.
The Baba Yaga.
But bottom line is watch WrestleMania, guys, enjoy it, and then come back
and leave a comment on this podcast.
Yeah. And then come back and listen next week and hear us bitch about everything that went wrong or everything that went good.
Or if you can't wait till next week,
why don't you just go ahead and hit us up on the Twitters?
There you go. The Twitter machine.
How can they find you on Twitter, Patrick?
At Review Fix. I was supposed to finish the rest of that sentence because it sounded weird.
Just at Review Fix. What about you, Nerdy?
You can find me at the Nerdy Pugilist. I have to throw in a little bit of Bronx in there, so it's D-A Nerdy Pugilist.
Duh.
If you don't know what a pugilist is, you really should know.
And you get a fucking dictionary.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh my god.
He could kick my ass.
He could kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. His eyebrow could kick my ass.
Oh my
Those
god.
Things are fierce. They're fierce like Sasha. Like the possible introduction of Enzo and Cass.
Maybe you have Enzo and Cass start a feud. Maybe after the League of Nations loses, they start talking shit and stuff like that. And they say that they deserve a shot at the title. Maybe you have Enzo and Cass fight the League of Nations for a little while.
But is that really what they deserve?
Not really, but if...
Or do you have them go over the Usos?
That you could do too, but see, the thing is, from what we've learned from the way Vince likes to book NXT guys, is he never starts them off the way that they should anyway. So, it's like, unless you're Kevin Owens, you know, who was booked marvelously when he first came in. But, they need a feud where, like, fans can get into them. You know, and they need a group that Enzo could rip into. And I think it's really hard to rip into Jay and Jimmy because their faces and plus...
And then you'll turn heel.
Yeah, and that's not what you want.
So you need the League of Nations.
Yeah, which I mean, Enzo could have a fucking field day with Rusev by himself. You know? So, that makes a lot of sense.
I've seen guys like you over at Ben's and hers. So, you know. But... Okay, coming out of that match, right? Mm-hmm. You have Shane Undertaker, and this is where you say you bring Balor in.
Yeah.
So this is where you say you have the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to see a clean finish in this match?
I don't.
I don't. It's like, see, like the dog's growling. He doesn't want to see a clean match, a clean win either. You know,
but would you do that? Do you risk Balor's popularity?
See, the thing is, Balor won't get over the way that he's supposed to get over unless he's a heel. That's what I feel. You don't dress a guy up as a fucking demon and expect him to be a face.
But will it just become a distraction?
I don't think so. I think because he's talented enough, and if he's
but he can't just run in.
No, there's got to be...
There's got to be the smoke and the entrance.
Yes, yes. He's got to come in as the demon. You know?
Does he come in from underneath the ring, you know, as demons usually do? Or because then he's got to stay out there the whole fucking show.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I would have his whole entrance.
He can't do the whole thing, you know, the swimming for the crowd. And, you know.
Yeah, not the whole thing, but just enough of it, you know? Where it's like, he comes out...
But does he throws his arm up? Because that'd be a fantastic...
Yes, I want him to come out in the darkness or whatever, and then, like, Shane and Undertaker just, like, stop, and they're, like, kind of looking at each other, you know, and then, you know, he does the, and the lights go on, and then Shane...
And all those people throwing their arms up, because you know they're marks.
Yep.
All those people throwing their arms up at the same time. Could you imagine 80,000 or 90,000 people throwing their arms up? There's going to be some people that don't know what the hell is going on.
Sure, sure, because not everybody watches NXT as much as they're fucking idiots, and they should...
blow off if that happens.
Sure.
And Vince McMahon will go, I just made a ton of money. And people will rush the merchandise stands. Because what you do is afterwards, you go, you know, during the musical intermission, you go, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the demon has showed up. The next day on Raw, merchandise stands are sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could barely touch them at a live event.
Yep.
You could barely go to the merchandise desk because people just want these shirts and they will pay $5 or $10 above the price just to get them, right? Okay. And they rush the stands just buying this demon stuff and it'd be great. And the kids dressed in, could you imagine?
It'll work.
You know, and then have Gallows and Anderson come out with him? Mm-hmm. Or do you still want them with AJ Styles?
Well, I think the four of them should be a group, but I think Gallows and Gallows and Anderson should come out. Once Balor lays his hands on Undertaker, and it's like it's apparent that like Balor by himself may not be able to like take him out. Then you bring in, you know what I'm saying?
The heat coming off that place.
And then the next night, like when it appears like whoever they challenge or whatever, maybe that things are like a little even. Then that's when you have AJ Styles come out and be like, no, not happening.
But you see, he's still a face.
Yep.
Coming out, because he has a match at WrestleMania too.
Yep.
You know, he has to go over on that match.
Yeah, but that's the perfect time to turn him heel, because it's like, listen, I came here, I'm fucking 38 years old, I have a wife, I have a family, I have all this shit, and then, you know, I'm supposed to have a title shot for something, and then instead I get put in a fucking stupid feud with Chris Jericho because of the way this stupid company is run. You know, like, that could...
So you would let him pipe bomb?
Absolutely. Be like, listen, I'm not new. You know, everyone's saying, like, oh, I'm the phenomenal one. Yes, but I've been the fucking phenomenal one. Let me
and
be
I
phenomenal.
Deserve better.
Yeah, yeah. And just be like, there's a reason why I never really wrestled for this company, because they wouldn't give me an opportunity, and I had to go somewhere else. I had to go to Disney World for 12 years, and then I had to go to Japan before I was able to come here, because of how fucked up this place is. So
I had to work Wednesdays in Nashville for years to get here.
So you know what we're doing now? We're taking over, you know? And, like, you don't think Luke Gallows has that promo in him, too?
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely. You know? So, it's
but,
like...
But do you run the risk of overexposing Gallows in that... The Gallows and Anderson in that interfering way?
Nah, I don't think you're going to overexpose them.
So they're coming out for two matches.
Why not? Fuck it. You know? It's like... Because
AJ can win by himself.
That's true.
You know, he doesn't need anyone to come out and help him.
What I'm saying is I would have Gallows and Anderson come out in the tag team match. I wouldn't have them come out in the AJ match.
But you would have them come out in the Undertaker match.
Yes, after Balor comes out. So first Balor comes out, and then Undertaker and Balor are going at it, and it's kind of even. You know, maybe Balor gives him the sling blade, and then Undertaker starts to fight back. And then when it appears that like Undertaker is starting to like come back, then you have Gallows and Anderson come out, and then just eliminate any thought that Undertaker has an opportunity. You know? So...
The only thing we have left to discuss is the main event.
Yeah, Lesnar and Ambrose.
That match, Bray's gonna interfere.
Yeah, he has to.
It's gonna cost Dean something. So now, he's going to interfere, but then Dean should beat on him.
But now we have to say, too, is Bray healthy enough? Because there was a reason why he wasn't in Roadblock.
He isn't. I went to the live event the next week, and he was still feeling it in his back. He was working it as a sell from the move.
Yeah.
But he, you know, Braun Strowman is a mountain of a man.
Ugh.
And he does have potential, Patrick.
No, but he does.
He has great potential in the ring. He did a lot more than he usually does on TV. And if he only had the chance to do that, you know, on TV, I think this is a place you show him.
Yeah.
Just show him. And, you know, Luke Harper's out with an injury. During a dark match, he went down with an ACL tear.
Oh.
It appears to be an ACL tear. Nothing's been confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke Harper is down, but Bray Wyatt, Brock Lesnar has already run through Luke Harper.
Yeah.
So now he has to run through Eric Rowan. Make him run the gamut until SummerSlam when he finally faces off against Bray Wyatt.
Oh, so it's like we're going to have to deal with another fucking 7 months of this. Oh my God. It's
unfortunately.
Awful. It's awful.
Or the beating is so bad that he comes back.
The Wyatt family just has no... They have no swag right now at all.
They don't, because they've been booked into oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are, like we've said before, they're the guys who talk shit and never back it up.
Yeah. So you have Lesnar win that match, but...
But the problem is, the product of the match has to mean something. So yeah. Does Ambrose really need that rub from Lesnar? Because that's what this is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think he needs it. I don't think it adds anything to Dean Ambrose. Except making him the hardcore guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's what they've been doing on television the past
2 years. And that's like, it goes against everything that we've been saying, because that guy shouldn't exist anymore. You know? So as much as, like, Dean Ambrose has that in him, and I think they want to make him a wild child. They don't necessarily want to make him hardcore, but they're doing it the wrong way. You're giving him a chainsaw, you're giving him the barbed wire bat. It's like, no, you don't want to go down this path anymore. This guy has a ton of talent. You don't want him to fucking do this to establish his legacy. It's going to be an entertaining match. To me, it's probably going to be one of the most entertaining matches on the card. And it's going to be a heck of a lot more entertaining than Reigns versus Triple H, which, sadly, we know how that's going to end. Reigns is winning the title. Like,
but still, Triple H can make Reigns... Like Bryan made Reigns look good. Triple H can make Reigns look good. But in the end, you know, the only natural outcome is Ambrose comes out against Reigns because it's his time.
Yeah,
and I think if Roadblock proved that. If you don't strike now, you have to strike at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think Roadblock proved that Ambrose could totally be over as world champion. I mean, even that little scare that we had. Remember when we thought Ambrose won when Ambrose beat Rollins and the crowd went ape shit? They were totally down for it. Mm-hmm. So it's like that was almost a year ago.
So he's won the title twice already.
Mm-hmm. But hasn't won the title.
So you're making him into Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me.
In a weird way, yeah.
Because he's gotten a chance. People like him. So the only natural outcome of the Lesnar-Ambrose match is that Ambrose goes over.
Yeah.
Goes over not clean, unfortunately, because people get in the way. But Ambrose has to make a stand against those people.
Yeah.
In order to keep that face heat.
Yeah. I agree. You know?
And then, you know, maybe he takes a moment where he goes, come on, Brock, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He doesn't pin him. He goes, come on, Brock, get up. Right? And Lesnar gets up. They fight a little bit more. And Ambrose goes over with a dirty deeds on a dumpster. God knows what. You know, maybe he holds him down with a forklift in order to get the pin. It's a street fight, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to keep a guy that big down.
I agree.
Take the forklift. You know, it could be a great spot. You put him on one of those travel cases, take the forklift, you bring it down on top of him, you have Ambrose pin him, right? And then, you know, you have Lesnar go, you know, out of, like, respect, because he didn't take the dirty win, you give him a nod, maybe a handshake, and mm-hmm. I think that's how you come out of this match.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then, if you want, you could give him Paul Heyman, even though he doesn't need it. You know,
yeah, I would love
better serve with younger guys.
I agree, but like I think Heyman should grab another guy. I think Ambrose has what it takes to be a Heyman guy.
But he doesn't need
him. He doesn't need him. But like, just to have like that kind of seal of approval, like it doesn't. He doesn't even have to be a Heyman guy. He could just be like Heyman. Could be like, you know what, Dean Ambrose, we respect you, and that would be just as good. So.
At the end of the night, I want to see how the crowd reacts to Reigns.
They're going to boo the shit out of him, man. I'm telling you.
Are they finally going to accept it? Because at this point, you should just accept it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to accept it. I think we're going to see a ton of articles on every single wrestling website that's going to be like, see, we told you. We fucking told you. And it's going to prompt something, I'm telling you, what I think is going to happen, it's going to prompt something really big to happen at Raw the next night.
And I think but it won't be a title change.
It could be. I mean, and then the thing is, that allows like whoever the heel is that beats Reigns to be like, listen, you held the belt for a night, you're a 3-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and you've held the belt for a night, and you've held the belt for 5 minutes. Like, just enough. Just go somewhere. Go somewhere else. Go to TNA. Go to Ring of Honor. Go somewhere. Go. You're just awful. You know? And then he has to prove himself from there. And then I think the next time he wins the title, then he has the support of the fans. He's not there.
I don't... But will he have the support of the fans?
I don't think so. I don't think he has the support of the... I don't think he'll have the support of the fans after WrestleMania. I think they still... They need to kind of, like... What did Willem Dafoe say in Spider-Man? You know, I don't want to take it back to formula. And look what happened to Green Goblin. Fucking nut job. Right? They gotta take Roman Reigns, in a way, back to formula. Because it's like, it works on so many different elements, because the kids and the women like him and stuff, but he's just not... He's not that guy. He's not that guy that could be the face of the company. He's just not. I hate to say it like that, because I like him. I like watching his matches to an extent, but it's like, he's not... I don't want to see him... Like, when Cena comes back, when Orton comes back, when Cesaro comes back, can Reigns really hold the fucking ring with those guys? He can't even lick their boots.
But when they come back, here's the problem.
Rollins?
You're bursting at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
So, out of WrestleMania, 2 months down the line, you're in the bill for SummerSlam. Who are your top guys?
It's not Reigns.
Orton's coming back after WrestleMania.
Is what?
Orton's coming back after WrestleMania. Not the next night, but sometime in April.
A lot of questions. Those are good. Questions are good. You know? That's the reason why we watch. But at the end of the day, he's going to win, and nobody gives a shit. A lot of people are going to boo. It's not going to do anything. You know? It's not going to be sexy. It's not. There's not going to be a WrestleMania moment out of that. People are going to remember it as the way of, like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Why did this guy just win? We told you we didn't want him to win, and he won anyway. Again. You know, a lot of people are going to get fed up. That's, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
So, you're still lukewarm on WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm optimistically looking out for it.
I'm a cynic.
Just because they're, like we've discussed, there's so many seeds of what could happen.
Yeah. Which is good, because, I mean, the next time we have a podcast, we could be like, wow, we really fucked this one up. We really got this one wrong, you know?
You know, I'm not afraid of being wrong.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid is of predicting exactly what we do.
Yeah.
And that's because if I'm able to do that, and I don't get paid the big bucks, you shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
And be paid the big bucks.
I agree.
Because in the end, you know, look at ICW over in Ireland. Grado won that championship match.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Drew Galloway. There's no reason that should happen.
Yeah.
And yet the crowd went ballistic because it did happen.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Drew Galloway winning the TNA championship, cashing in his feast or famine on Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
It's true, it was only a couple seconds, but it was the right time. You know, Jay Lethal beating Briscoe to become the Ring of Honor championship and hold two belts and hold it for a good amount of time afterwards. It was something surprising. Something I didn't expect. You know, so what I'm trying to say here is maybe it's time for you to not fall into formula. Mm-hmm. Maybe the crowd is too smart for its own good. But sometimes sticking to the plan as hard as they have could backfire in your face really bad.
Sure. I agree.
But, you know, it's like, at this point, they can't call an audible again. There is no money in the bank to be cashed in.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all out of options. They kind of have to lay in this bed.
Yeah. You know, the only thing you do is you give me the double turn that I spoke about. You know, because, you know, McMahon's at the end of his rope. He already lost control of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost control of the championship of his own company. He gives Triple H some shit, and then Triple H comes out as a face, you know, and, you know, what you do is you terminate his talent contract, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and that makes sense. One, contractually it makes sense, and two, story-wise it would make even more sense. And you just go, and you just have him go, why don't you do me a favor and go down to Florida with your little pet project?
Yeah.
You know, and that'll give Vince some heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least with some people.
I agree.
And you know, and then you could book an NXT Invasion storyline.
And I think they have enough talent over
down
there.
Down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And down the road, you have Triple H's pet project, you know. Then technically you would have three brands, which you already do.
Yeah. Right? You just have them used properly.
Yeah. You know, and you could move talent around. You could have them invade on different things and have SmackDown and Raw mean something again. Because they're unpredictable and you don't know when the next attack is coming. Maybe Raw doesn't get attacked for 3 weeks and then all of a sudden Jordan and Gable come out, right? And they give Gallows and Anderson a run for their money, or they give the Usos a run for their money and they win. You know, not a dirty attack, but like, hey, I'm going to challenge you to a match. Do you accept? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
There's so many ways they could go, and maybe that's why I'm optimistically waiting for it.
And I think at the end of the day, that's kind of like what we have to do. This WrestleMania may not be the most enjoyable WrestleMania, but it could lead to some really crazy storyline. So at the end of the day, all we can do is just watch and wait.
So did we just waste an hour, or are we just doing exactly what they want?
Well, I think maybe my wife thinks that we wasted an hour, and I think maybe...
Is she tapping her foot?
What?
Is she tapping her foot in the doorway with her
legs
around her elbow?
No, she's not. She would never do that.
I want pancakes.
Yeah, she wants breakfast. I want breakfast. I don't want to talk an hour about how, like, Roman Reigns sucks ass. We know that already.
I tried to steer the conversation away from that.
Oh, okay. All right. I know, you were being the good... You're being the good co-host. You were. Because I'm like, it sucks. It's all awful. Don't watch it. And you're like, no.
No, but think of this and think of that. I don't know. I don't know. I guess that journalism degree is working somehow.
It works sometimes for us, you know. Until until the tuition bill comes back, you know, every month.
So many.
It's
so
like, funny. Why am I on my Great
food.
Lakes again?
I will write for food. I want to write an entire column in the voice of a 1908 sportscaster.
Oh, my God.
And look at that terrific blow from Roman Reigns. The wild Samoan comes away from his island paradise in order to come to the concrete jungle of New York City.
What are you, Gordon Soleil? Like, well, that's the way the people in the South still watch it.
And look at the
that.
Blue.
Just,
really?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they get a little too into it. You know, like it's, they took their germ. They took their germ. You know, it's like, you know, it's fake, right? You know, it's, oh no, I just said it's fake, which means like the boogeyman is going to come out and fucking kick my ass.
The Baba Yaga.
But, bottom line is, watch WrestleMania, guys, enjoy it, and then, come back
and leave a comment on this podcast.
Yeah, and then come back and listen next week and hear us bitch about everything that went wrong or everything that went good.
Or, if you can't wait till next week, why don't you go ahead and hit us up on the Twitters.
There you go. The Twitter machine. As
How could they find you on Twitter, Patrick?
At Review Fix. I was supposed to finish the rest of that sentence because it sounded weird.
Just at Review Fix. What about you, nerdy...
You can find me at the Nerdy Pugilist. Pugilist. I have to throw in a little bit of Bronx in there, so it's D-A Nerdy Pugilist.
Duh.
If you don't know what a pugilist is, you really should know.
And you get a fucking dictionary.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh my god.
He could kick my ass.
He could kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. His eyebrow could kick my ass.
Oh my
Those
god.
Things are fierce. They're fierce like Sasha. Or, if you can't wait till next week, why don't you go ahead and hit us up on the Twitters.
There you go. The Twitter machine.
How could they find you on Twitter, Patrick?
At Review Fix. I was supposed to finish the rest of that sentence because it sounded weird.
Just at Review Fix. What about you, nerdy...
You can find me at the Nerdy Pugilist. I have to throw in a little bit of Bronx in there, so it's D-A Nerdy Pugilist.
Duh.
If you don't know what a pugilist is, you really should know.
And you get a fucking dictionary.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Vladimir Klitschko.
Oh, my God.
He could kick my ass.
He could kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. His eyebrow could kick my ass.
Oh,
my Those
God.
Things are fierce. They're fierce like Sasha.
Thank you for listening to the ReviewFix.com Wrestling Podcast. Tune in next week for another bone-chilling TV Tales Horror episode.